You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello there, and welcome to All Things Therapy. If you've been watching and listening, you know that I'm Lisa Tahir, your host. Welcome to our broadcast today. In just a few minutes, I'll be bringing my guest on. She came to my podcast by way of being a listener and reached out, which was so meaningful to hear from, you know, one of you listening that my show, the material is resonating, and that you wanted to share your work. So in a few minutes, we're going to be with Bonita Owens. Before then, I just want to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on the platform that you listen on, be it iTunes or Stitcher, YouTube, wherever it is, and to follow me on social media at NOLA Therapy, NOLATHERAPY, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on YouTube. I spend a lot of time each week uploading things and making sure the material is current. And I love to help you heal through a combination of techniques. Since we're all so multidimensional, there's no one right way for anyone. And so I'm inspired by all the multitude of ways that we heal and grow and change, be it through spiritual practices, psychological teachings, fitness, all kinds of stuff. I'm really into fitness. I'm a retired fitness teacher, and that's something I've done for my whole life, pretty much. And I've been practicing balance on the BOSU ball, which you might know at the gym, that blue ball. I love turning it upside down, and I'm inspired to challenge my core to balance while lifting weights in various ways, doing squats. It's taken like almost a year to work up to some of the things I've just put on Instagram in the last week. And for me, it's really a metaphor about life, that we're constantly seeking our balance, just like water seeks its level. And we do that physically as well as emotionally and spiritually. And our guest Bonita is going to enhance and amplify some of the ways that she is teaching and working with her clients and with you if you're interested. Again, to book sessions with me, to find me, NOLA Therapy on socials, and nolatherapy.com is my website. There are links to order my new book on self-forgiveness, endorsed by His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, and I'd love for you to have that. So I have an awesome new sponsor to introduce to you. I'm wearing their clothing. They are called Faherty Brand, F-A-H-E-R-T-Y Brand. It's a twin brother team, and these clothes are really nice. It's this high-quality cotton that's like really, really sturdy, for lack of a better term, but also soft, and you can tell it's high quality fabric. And what I really like about them, besides the quality of their clothes, is that they offer you a lifetime guarantee to exchange your clothing, anything you get from them, for the lifetime that you own it, which is really cool. They believe in their products that much. And as my listener, they will give you 20% off your first order to try them out. They've been featured in Vogue, in GQ, in Lucky, the LA Times, and so many more magazines. On socials, they're at Faherty Brand. And to get your 20% off, go to fahertybrand.com/ATT for All Things Therapy. And I'll spell it out for you. F like Frank, A-H-E-R-T-Y brand.com/ATT. And thank you to the Faherty brothers for supporting All Things Therapy. I really appreciate you guys, and I love your clothes. So today we have the pleasure to hear from Bonita Owens. She is a certified life coach, a corporate trainer. She's a speaker and author of the book, Who Stole My Significance? And her work centers around, as well as her book, speaking to women for us to step into who we truly are and own our significance in this world. And her work, her book, is based upon what she herself has learned and wants to share with us. So welcome, Bonita.
Thank you so much, Lisa. So glad to be here.
I'm happy to be here with you as well. And I know you're in San Antonio, Texas. You were just telling me.
Yeah.
How are you today?
Good. I'm dry today. It's been raining a lot as we talked about, but it's mellowed out. But yes, doing great.
Well, I noticed you kind of nodding your head around when I was talking about finding our balance. And I wonder if you could talk to us about how you envision the way that we as women find our balance, find our path when it seems to be obscure, and wherever you want to start with us.
Finding balance has really been near and dear to my heart, and especially when you were just talking about, working out and all of that, and challenging your body and how good it is. And so I'm like, wow, I'm glad I went to the gym today so that I cannot feel bad.
That's funny.
And it is so true, like the things that we do for ourselves so that we can show up as our best self. And I think one thing that women in particularly, have challenges with more so than men is being committed to putting ourselves first, being committed to those things, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, that helps to fill our cup so that we can really continue to show up and serve all the people, all of the hats that we wear, all the roles that we play, and we want to play them all well. And so I'm really passionate about, finding that balance in a sense of what are you doing for you? How are you putting yourself first so that you can have the energy, you can have the wherewithal, you can have the emotional balance to be able to handle all of the things that you do every day.
And so what I hear you saying underneath that, Bonita, is that a woman's desire, which I think comes innately, and I might be stereotyping, but to be nurturing, to be considerate, so not to get lost in the others in our lives, and kind of minimize our own needs. Is that kind of the place you're coming from?
Exactly. And I agree with you. I think it is innate, because we bring life, right? We need that natural, intuitive, to take care of nature, to take care of our young. We need that. That's important. I think what happens though is that we are so used to doing that. And I think it happens innately. And I really believe from the clients that I've worked with, it's passed down. It's behavioral. We see it from our mother and our mother's mother, the nurturing and never turning it off in a sense, right? Or never realizing, okay, well, there's a time to nurture other people, and there's definitely a time to nurture myself. And both of those things are equally important. And I will even go so far to say, actually, it's more important for us to nurture ourselves, because it reminds me of, just we've all, those of us who've flown, right? What does the flight attendant tell us? To put our own oxygen mask
On
on first,
first.
right? Because if you don't, we all end up passing out if we don't put ours on first, right? If I don't put mine on before I help you, Lisa, I'm gonna pass out in the process, and you're gonna pass out. So we both lose. And so I think that's really, it's counterintuitive, but it's something that I talk about a lot.
I want to go back to a point you raised moments ago, because it's been coming up in a lot of my client sessions, interestingly enough. And it's this patterning from mother to daughter through the generations, this ancestral piece around especially patterns in relationships. And with one client in particular who's coming to mind, she's really becoming aware of kind of the story that she was told as a young one about her mom, like her mom's upbringing, the way she had her and her brother, the relationship she was in, her grandmother's, and just how we don't even know, I think, that we just make these stories a part of ourselves and then unconsciously operate out of some of those drives, some of those teachings, so to speak. And I can you, what do you think about that?
Like, okay, so the first time that my light bulb went off around this was with a client. And I was talking to we were in a session, and this woman was, very successful, but was empty and was realized, wow, I give it all away and I have no one that's there for me. I don't have anything for me. And as we were talking, I shared with her the concept of putting herself first. I said, hey, it's time for you to put yourself first. And she said, that seems so foreign to me. Like, I don't even, she resisted the notion and the idea. She's like, I just, that doesn't even feel comfortable to me. And as we began, we continued to talk. She talked about her grandmother. And she talked about her grandmother and how her grandmother is responsible for her being the success she is today. Because her grandmother was the one who gave her the money to go to school.
Wow.
And so she credits her grandmother for so much of who she is. And as we began to, as she began to just talk about her grandmother and how much she admires her grandmother, I realized in that moment that she admires her grandmother, and the things that she admired about her grandmother, one of the things was how much her grandmother served everybody.
Okay.
And as we began to talk, we also realized that her grandmother had some preventable health issues, right? That her grandmother didn't take care of her health. And her grandmother died on an evening. The day after that she died, she was supposed to take a family member to go and find a job.
Okay.
And so that really spoke to how she just spent her whole life giving and making sure everyone was taken care of, but she herself, she didn't take care of herself. And so that's when that light bulb went off, like, oh my gosh, this is passed down from generation to generation. And when you think about, Lisa, like when women are championed, either at a eulogy or when they win awards, so many women are described as, oh, she's so selfless. She just gave to everyone, right?
Yeah.
And that's like a badge that we've been given. You know, that's what makes a good woman. And so that's when I first realized, wow, we admire the people in our lives, our mothers and grandmothers, and we think either consciously or subconsciously that the behaviors that they displayed is what we need to take on in order for us to be the good women, right? And for us to be like our mothers or for us to be like our grandmothers. So in closing with this, I don't want to make this story too long, but what I told her, I said, you know, your grandmother sound like a wonderful woman. And there are things that you can definitely take from her, some characteristics that you can definitely take and embody. But there are things that you don't have to embody, you don't have to take on, because what we don't see is our mothers and grandmothers crying on their pillows at night. We don't see, right? We don't see the dark side of it because they never let us see that.
Yes, yes.
And so we just assume that it was okay. And we know it was not always okay.
You know, so I have a question, Benita, inspired from the story you shared. And even when you came on the show and talking about putting ourselves first, that language, like, mm-hmm. I know for me, it's taken a lot to understand what that really looks like, what that really means. And because I think for some people, the word selfish or to the exclusion, like you're going to somehow not be available to others. Can you share in a different way what that means when we put ourselves first, what that looks like, what that sounds like to make it measurable and observable for someone listening or watching and curious about
yes,
that?
Yes, for sure. As one of the foundational principles that I share with clients, one of the things that I am very passionate about is starting off my day with me. Mm-hmm. And for me, meditation has been a lifesaver.
Yeah.
It used to be that I walked around and was always stressed and always had this nervous energy. And I thought that's what productive people did, right? I thought, okay, I'm productive. Nervousness and stress, it comes with the territory. Until I realized, no, that does not have to come with the territory. So what I share with women is that, and anyone, but particularly, of course, women, is just that one of the things you do to take care of yourself is not respond to Facebook, not look at your phone to see who texted you, not check your email, but spend that first, I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 15 minutes, spending that first part of your day with you, being centered, being quiet, being in gratitude, breathing deeply, and being intentional about your day. And that's a way to for us to nurture ourselves, because what happens is we are getting a mode of reacting to everything. We're reacting to everything around us, and we are not responding.
Yes.
And so that's a practical practice that I think is so important. And I tell my clients, listen, if you only have a minute, take that minute to start off your day with you, and it can make all the world of difference.
And how did you discover that for yourself, Benita, to shift some and change some of your own patterns?
It was really intuitive and through self-awareness. I was at a place where I was really searching for what is my more. Like, I wanted more from life. I thought, you know, I'm married, I have children, then the life as I know it is officially over, because that's what my life should be about at this point. And I was told that, and it was something that I, you know, just kind of took in subconsciously, that my role was only to focus on my husband and focus on my children. And that didn't work for me.
Right.
I realized that woman before marriage and children was ambitious, had purpose, had goals, had dreams, had things that I wanted to do. And I woke up one day thinking, my creativity. I put away my creativity because I was so focused on helping everybody else. And so intuitively through that search of who I am, what my next was, how to bring that person back that I once was, that's what just led me on a path. And believe it or not, Lisa, there was a voice that said, meditate.
And
because of my religious background, I resisted it for a while because I was taught that meditation is woo-woo. It's
right. You
know, all this stuff of the devil and all of that. So I resisted it because I'm like, I wasn't brought up to meditate. And I believe that meditation and prayer are different. So similar, but different. I believe they are. And so when I started doing that, I said, you know what? I don't care what I've been told. I'm feeling the pull to do this. And it was like a whole new world opened up for me because I was just quiet and still to hear and to be led to my next step and my next step. And that's how I got where I am, was really just listening to my voice and following the leading.
You know, and I like what you're saying. And is it of Christian faith that your background consists of? And I know a lot of Christians that I know have felt, you know, like meditation is something to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. Yet when you look to the Bible, Christ meditated on things before he made decisions. And prayer is when we're asking, and meditation is the space that we receive in. And so they really go hand in hand. If you look to those spiritual practices and what they're about, if you're always asking in prayer, you're never quiet enough to receive the direction, to receive the answer, to receive the peace that is ours to have. And so I'm so glad you found that in your life and can probably reach a circle of people that might have, you know, also had some challenges around what meditation really is about.
Yeah. For so long, though, I kept it as my dirty little secret, so to speak. I was like, it's working for me, but I was afraid of being judged, you know, because that's, and I said, you know what? Forget that. You know, I'm doing the women that I'm called to a disservice by not sharing it, because it really is a foundational practice that has made all the difference in my life. You know, it opened up my world. And so I share it now, share it more and more with people, you know, to help encourage people. It's not what you think it is. And you're right. In the Bible, it talks about Jesus meditating, and in different parts of the Bible, meditation. But I think even people think a lot of Christians teach that just means you're just kind of focusing on the Bible, focusing on scripture. and not being still.
Right.
So, you know, it's still kind of, you know, convoluted in a sense, but I do what I can to really.
Yeah, I think people like you are helping shed that light on what it really is to receive through meditation, the answers to our prayer and our devotion and dedication.
For sure.
You know, and something you said as well, Benita, really resonated as far as you in your own life saw the need to start the day with some time for you. An account I love following on LinkedIn and Instagram is Tony Robbins. I really love some of the practical tips he gives. Mm-hmm. And this week on his LinkedIn, there was an article having to do with starting your day. And like you, he talks about taking some time for meditation to sit quietly and to even order your day in your mind. Like, these are the things I'd like to do and not just reacting. Because he spoke about how we open our email box and that starts to dictate our day. And we're not in control of that. We're just reacting to other people's demands and requests. And then it's like the day's ended and you realize you haven't gotten to the things that really were important to you, that speak to your soul, that might have just needed to get done for your own well-being. And so he talks about in a way that I've begun to organize my day is definitely with meditation, quietness in the morning, first thing. And then I learned, and yesterday this became really apparent to me. I had meditated. I got to this really feel good place and I had my phone. It wasn't on silent and all these remind, like the text dinging and the emails dinging. I started to feel really overwhelmed within 10 minutes. And I was like, I just meditated. What is going on? And I realized if I just keep the ringer on silent and kind of go through my list of things. And then I can look at the phone. I can look at the email and then respond. So I wonder if that's because that for me was a really nut and bolt practice that helped me shift from being overwhelmed to feeling really on top of things. Like silencing all those alarm sounds.
Yes. And I do that when I meditate. I do that in the morning. Sometimes I forget to turn it, take it off, but do not disturb. I'm like, oh, I missed all these phone calls. But yeah, for sure. Like the more, and I love Tony Robbins and he is like a beast when it comes to rituals. And I learned that from him, like how powerful rituals can be.
Yes.
And I started off reading the book Miracle Morning. So that's how I ended up figuring out how to expand the first part of my day. So Miracle Morning was really what I used to kind of help me craft my day. But yes, like little things like that, turning off the ringer in the morning so you're not getting the notifications. It's amazing all of the noise that we get, you know, throughout the day. And we don't realize how much energy that can drain from us and how much distraction that creates. And when we are distracted, I think I read even like, even if you look at something for a second, like it still takes your brain, I think like 15 or 20 minutes to gotta like get re-engaged.
Oh, like recalibrate. Wow.
Like every little distraction means a lot. It takes time out of what you're doing. It makes you even more less productive. So the whole notion, of course, they're talking about it more. The whole notion of multitasking is a farce, is a myth. It's not more productive to multitask.
Yeah.
Because your brain really is, you know, about focus, focusing on one thing at a time. So yeah, I love rituals. I think it helps bring a sense of normalcy when things get hairy in our lives. So I'm working on that too, is like being very dedicated to my ritual.
Yes.
Because I think what happens is when things happen or our schedules are turned topsy-turvy and then we throw our rituals out, right? Our practices out, that just kind of, you know, makes it
throws us off.
It does. It totally does. And so I think even when it comes to exercise, I'm like, okay, I'm being more dedicated. Usually when my schedule gets busy and I get stressed, I do the very opposite of what my body needs, is not exercise. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. I need to exercise even more, right? I need that ritual the most when I'm stressed to kind of help keep that homeostasis, you know, yeah. and those endorphins going. So,
you know, and I find, Benita, in the beginning of the show, you talked about having gone to the gym already today. Yet yes. I know when things get busy, that can be one of the first things we put aside. So I encourage people, it doesn't have to be the gym to count. To go for a walk for yes. 15 minutes yes. is significant to your body. It's cumulative what we do physically in a positive sense or in a detrimental sense by what we don't do. So even to go for a walk for 15 minutes on a day that things just kind of stack up is going to be really pleasing to your body and to your endorphins that get us and keep us feeling good. You know, so just to yeah. throw that out, it doesn't have to be true. Specifically the gym to have a positive impact on our health.
Yes, for sure. For sure. You're absolutely right. And I do like to go out for walks.
I love that too.
Yeah. I don't like to walk by myself though. So that's my caveat. At the gym, okay. I can go, but sometimes I get my kids to go with me.
Oh, that's nice. And that's good teaching them too, physical yes. practice yes. and ritual. So Benita, will you tell us about the Amazing Women Network?
Yes. So, it's all about personal and professional development and growth strategies for women. And I specifically, it's coaching, inspirational speaking, and I partner with specifically ambitious women in leadership positions. And okay. as an author, as a coach, I challenge them to make those decisions that reflect their dreams and desires, so that they are no longer people pleasing, but they are proud to make themselves a priority. And so that is so important to me, because I think those of us who are ambitious and we're go-getters, we are, like I said, just from our career, our business, our home life, there's yeah. always somebody that needs something from us. And saying no tends to be a problem. And that's a chapter in my book, The Power of No. So
I love that.
Talk with women, because saying no is very difficult, tends to be for lots of women I talk to. And, you know, just realizing creating boundaries is so important. We give our power away so much as women, even women in leadership, right? Because it's our nurturing. And so I really teach about saying no, because once you say no, the more you say no to other things that don't align with your priorities and values, mm-hmm. the more you say yes to yourself. So we got to give ourselves permission, Lisa, to say yes more to ourselves.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, Benita. What you're saying right now reminds me of in your work where you talk about we have to give ourselves permission. Can you talk to us more about that? What yes. we are permitting, what we are allowing.
Yes. And Brené Brown talks about this too, oh, yeah. right? Permission slips.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we need other women, right, to just say, hey, it's okay to say no. It's okay to put yourself first. Having that external validation can go a long way. We don't want to depend on that. But I think, hey, if I can help, if I can say anything to a woman, say something to a woman to help them realize it's really okay. It's not bad. You're not a bad girl. And, you know, yeah. when you say no, you're not bad for putting yourself first. Helping them give themselves permission by first starting with that external validation. And sometimes we all need that so that we can internalize that for ourselves to say, okay, it is okay. It is okay for me to take care of me. Yes. Why? Because how are you going to take care of everyone else if you don't take care of you? How are you going to be your best self? And I think that's one thing we overlook. Yeah, you're doing all these things. You're responding to everyone's needs, and you're tired. You're snappy. You may not be fun to be around at all times.
Right.
Because you're drained, right? And so that's not the way we want to show up in the world. We want to show up as much as we can with peace and joy and happiness so that we can, you know, strengthen, have strengthened relationships.
Yeah. You know, when I hear you speak right now, Benita, I'm thinking I found a lot of things can be a win-win, and putting oneself first can really be a strategy that looks more like, you know, we can both receive, we can both get what we want. It just might need to be structured differently. Like, yes, I'll get to you on that. I'd love to do that, but I'm able to do it on Saturday instead of today. And I think that becomes easier the more we practice it, because people are typically always well receptive to that. Have you found the same thing?
I have. And it's interesting that you say that, because when I share the talks about the power of no, you know, it is true that you're not going to just go around and say no to everyone. That. There are ways to say no that you can feel good about. And yes, one of the things is to say, hey, I can't do it today, but I can do it Saturday. Yeah. And equally okay to say, I can't do it. But maybe someone else, right? Like, yeah. Putting two, though, to realize
I think
realize
that's great,
that.
Actually. Can I say that point to help to delegate and to kind of brainstorm together? Because I think we feel the pressure to have the answers. Yeah. And when we don't, it's like, oh, my God, that I have to do that, because who else will? But I like what you just said about let's brainstorm who might be somebody who can do this.
Exactly. I can't do it right now. It's not in my wheelhouse, or my plate is full. But yeah, how can I support you?
Maybe I like that.
Find someone else to do it. And it really is okay not to do it. And so there are other ways to say, you know what, I really love to help you. My plate is full right now. I won't be able to help you this time. And that's okay too. And I think one of the things that's so important to bring out is that women, we don't know how to deal when people don't respond to our no, whatever that looks like. And so we tend to say, oh my gosh, they're upset because I said no, so I'm wrong. And my thing is, no, you're not wrong. It's okay that someone is upset or disappointed for you saying no. Because no one likes no. Like, I don't like no. Right?
Yes.
So can we just normalize people not liking, loving when you say no to them, and realizing, okay, you expressed your desire, you expressed your truth, and some people will accept it and some people won't. But that doesn't, we get to determine what we're going to make that mean. So you don't have to make it mean you're mean or it's your fault. Just say, wow, they really wanted me to do this and I can't. And they're really dealing with my no. And that's okay. That's okay too.
Yeah, it is. And getting more comfortable with that. And a no right now in this moment might not be a no forever. I think too is significant to say, just right now, I'm not available for this, but let's revisit it.
Exactly.
So will you tell us about your book? I like the title, Who Stole My Significance? And I'm curious about where that came from. Because it sounds kind of uniquely personal.
Yes, it is very personal. It really is about my journey of self-awareness and self-discovery and really rewriting my story in a sense. And because I really felt like, again, you know, I was called for more.
Yeah.
And I, you know, sometimes we kind of dumb ourselves down. We dim our light.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we can kind of fit in with everyone. We can look normal.
Right.
And I realized, okay, I'm not placed here to look normal. I'm just placed here to do what I feel called to. So that is really what that the book is all about. It's just the lessons that I've learned in my journey and the things that I've had to choose to change, and my mind shifts and the behaviors that I've had to change so that I can really give myself permission and open up to being the woman that I am to become in order to, you know, do the things that I feel called to do.
And what motivates and inspires you? I'm curious at the personal level, Benita, to know some of those things.
Wow. You know, I've always been a person. I have a healthcare background.
Okay.
And I'm an occupational therapist by trade. And I've always been a person that got satisfaction out of helping someone else be their best. You know, so it's like, as an occupational therapist, I solve problems. So you come in with an injury, or something. And then I'm like, okay, what do you want to be able to do? What can't you do?
Right.
Let's figure out how to help you do it, right, as best we can. And so I have, and even before that, I just always had satisfaction by helping someone else's life be better. And more so than that, I think when it comes to this part of my journey, what I realized was that I have a really a responsibility to my children and the people in my family, because I realized that, you know, as parents, we tell our children, you can do anything you want to do, you can be anything you want to be. But so many of us aren't doing that. We're just telling our kids that they can do it, but we aren't being those examples.
And so they don't see us.
They don't see
doing it. What we really yes. want to do, for example, and being who we really want to be. So it's yes. like a mixed message.
And so, but what do? We point them to Oprah and, you know, LeBron James and, right. you know, Bill Gates. We point them to people they'll probably never meet ever,
yeah.
never have a conversation with. But they see us every single day.
Right.
And so I really felt a responsibility to be that example for my children, not to just make it lip service, but so they can see, wow, my mother did it. You know, my mother set out to reach a goal and to become this person that she felt called to help other people. And she did it. And so, yeah.
Like you wrote a book, you're speaking to people, like you're right. Is that, are those yeah. some of the things your kids have seen you do that are meaningful
yes.
of you living in your authentic life?
Yes. Yes. And starting a business and
yeah.
Yeah. Doing those things. Yeah. They, for sure. They've seen it.
And I think that's important for people to see us. You know, we might have to, something might take some time, and being committed to writing the book, to starting the business, to, yeah. you know, can be really, I think, a beautiful way to inspire without having to talk, you know, just by living your life in an yeah. authentic way. And it shows others, permits others that they can do this too for themselves in the ways that are meaningful to them.
For sure. And one of the things, and I think I'll talk about this in the book, is that when I talk about purpose and calling, you know, it's, everyone doesn't want to have this huge platform, right, where they're known all over the world. It's not
right.
necessary. It is, what is your sphere of influence, right?
Yes.
If it's inside your home, if it's your neighborhood, if it's your city, whatever that is for you, whatever that looks like for you. It's important. It's all
it
important,
is.
Right? So if we inspire one person, it's important.
It that. Is. I totally agree. What do you have anything coming up, Benita, like for listeners, for viewers to know about? I know you have a Power of No masterclass.
Yes. Yes. Okay. That's not, I don't have a schedule for that, but I do have something else. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. What is that?
That I am launching this month, called the Go-To Girls Gathering.
Okay.
And that is going to be a monthly event on Zoom for that leader, that woman leader who is always given to everyone else, always the rescuer.
Yeah.
I call her the go-to girl. She's the person everyone goes to because they know that she'll get the job done. They know that she'll always be there for them. And she doesn't have that space, feel like she doesn't feel as though she has that space. She's like, oh, I'm there for everyone else. So who's there for me?
Right.
When I need someone to listen. Who's there for me when I just need some advice or encouragement? And so I'm creating this space for that woman who just wants to go to a place where she can take her cape off, not have to be the rescuer, and she could be encouraged and inspired. And so that's called the Go-To Girls Gathering. And you can just get in touch with me through my website, and I will give you that information, www.amazingwomennetwork.com, and just email me. And I would love to put anyone on the list that is interested in finding out more about it.
That's awesome, Benita. And anything that you have, like a personal, since we were just talking about things that motivate you, inspire you, something that you desire to do that, you know, is coming down the pipeline of your future, something you're visioning that you're, you know, would be really, really wonderful.
Yes. I would love to do a TED talk.
Oh yeah.
I would love to do a TED
Same
talk.
Same here. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So, here's to us doing our TED talks.
We're putting it out there. I've never done that. Yes. So that is definitely a goal of mine.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. And so anything else just on your mind or heart to share with our audience today before we conclude, Benita?
I would say, you know, thank you, first of all, Lisa. This has been just a great conversation. And
thank
if
you.
I
welcome.
Could say anything to encourage your listeners is to whatever it is that you desire to do, don't overlook it. Mm-hmm. Don't think it's small and don't put it off. Find ways, no matter where you are. Maybe you have a job and you got a lot going on and you're thinking, oh, I don't know how I can get this done. But if it's something that keeps coming back to you, then it's time to at least make one step.
Yeah.
And one step will turn into two steps. And that's so important because we just don't know what it is that we're called to do that someone else needs. So I just want to encourage all the listeners to just do that one step. And once you do the one step, the next step will come to life. It will be revealed to you.
I love that, Benita. Thank you. Thank you for your time today and your work and influence.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a great rest of your afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
I will. Bye. Okay, that concludes today's show with Benita Owens, certified life coach, trainer, and speaker. You got a flavor of what she's about. Reach out to her again at amazingwomennetwork.com to learn more. And to leave you with, I'd like to just thank you for tuning in and watching. And go to nolatherapy.com to reach out, book a session, get my online class. People have been buying it. I teach 20 psycho-spiritual tools to use in your life. I love practical wisdom, practical things that I can use and then see results or feel results. I talk to you about things like how to use a pendulum, a weighted object that swings directionally to help you confirm yes and no questions. I talk about crystal grids, a morning routine, of course, meditation. I talk about segment intending your day to intend segments progressively for things to unfold for you well and in the way that you intend and not just haphazardly based on shit that might or might not happen, that we really have more say-so over the things that arise in our lives generated by our thoughts and our beliefs, which are just our beliefs are repeated thoughts that we assign truth to, and those are always changeable based on what we learn. So nolatherapy.com and on socials at nolatherapy. All my love and have a great day. Mwah.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir.